and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness, and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever.
Let's just meditate on those words for a few moments. Just think about some of those words that describe God, that speak of his splendor, compassion, faithfulness, love. And as we think of those, we can't help but praise him. Lord, we come to you this morning in worship and adoration. We just lift up your name. And Lord, we lift up this time to you. May we know your presence with us. May we join together in worship and in truth. May we learn something new of you. Bless our time, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to listen to our first song, Oh, the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus, and it's a YouTube one. We're going to see if we can do a bit of an exercise now. I want to think about things we want and things we need. So we're going to see some pictures on the screen. And I want you to put your hand up if you think it's something you need. Can you? Water. Yep. All agreed. Good. Next one. Tea. Some of us need a cup of tea. Crops. Yeah? Okay. Holidays. Natalie needs holidays. all the kids need holidays, the adults not so much. You'd think it'd be us that needs them. Friends. Friends. Just went through the photos that were on the computer. It's Girls Brigade Camp 2016, I think it was. TV. Some of us. Natalie, Chloe, Tracy. Okay. Chocolate. Yeah, I think. Yeah, we might not want to admit it. Next one. That's the last one. Okay, that's good. But we're all human, so we all should have the same needs, shouldn't we? And the rest of it, though it might be important to us, isn't actually necessary. Those things we want, and sometimes we want it quite a lot, like a cup of tea and chocolate, but it's not things we need. So when we speak of God providing everything we need, it doesn't necessarily follow that he gives us everything we want. Last week we spoke about how we ought not to put our trust in money and allow it to become our master, but to trust in God and serve him. And Jesus goes on to tell us why in Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. And Debbie's going to read that for us. Do you want to grab a microphone?
Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendour, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
There it is. Just stay. Oh! I don't know how that's come up. No, I don't want that. It's not even in the right order.
Sorry, well, that's come from.
Don't go away though, Debbie, because we're going to sing, and of course we have to sing Seek Ye First. That goes with that reading. Or Debbie's going to sing. The rest of us will think about it.
Shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
it's so easy to say, isn't it? Don't worry. We say it all the time. One of the shortest and most useless phrases in the world, isn't it? There are times when Jesus' words seem to go against every human inclination, and this is one of them. And not just against our inclination, but against our experience. Do you ever read these words and think, what kind of world are you living in, Jesus? You see, the fact of the matter is there are people in this world who are hungry, and people in this world who are thirsty, and people in this world who have no clothes to wear. And some of them are Christians. It's not because they don't trust God. We say that God provides, and Jesus says that God provides. But can we truly trust in his provision when we see people starving? People dying through lack of clean water? And I'm sure it was the same in Jesus' day. I'm sure it's not worse today. But yet Jesus did say it, and Matthew and Luke both included it in their Gospels, in the face of all the evidence. So why? Why did Jesus look at the birds and the flowers and say, God cares for them and he'll care for you? I mean, take the flowers, the lilies or the grass of the field are here today and gone tomorrow. Of course they don't worry, even if they had the mental capacity, about what they look like. They receive all they need from the ground, the air, the sunlight. All they have to do is grow. They don't have to work. They don't have to care for their families. Their whole purpose in life is to put out leaves, to catch more sunlight, and flowers to attract pollinators, and then produce seeds to start the whole cycle all over again. And even as I wrote that, a little bell rang in my mind. All they have to do is grow. And reach out to receive more of what God's provided. Send their roots deeper, spread their leaves wider. The provision is there for them, short-lived as they are. And their seeds will go off and do the same. So we'll put a little bookmark in that point. Grow and receive. And move on to the birds. They might not sow or reap or store away in barns, but they work hard for their food. Anyone who enjoys a visit to a bird of prey centre will be told that the birds have no objection to being caged or tethered. They expend so much energy in hunting in the wild that they don't actually fly for fun. They fly for food, and if they don't need food, they just sleep. They can't afford to waste their energy on random flying around, which is what we sometimes think they do. Other birds get on okay in the summer when the fruits are out or the corn is ripe. But what about winter when there's less food around? They live well enough on God's provision at times. Perhaps we might think if they did do a bit of storing away for the winter, they'd cope better. Actually, some of them do, but that's not the point. The birds, unlike the flowers, have to work for their food. And sometimes they have to work harder than other times. Sometimes they have to work together, telling each other where the food is. Sometimes they rely on other creatures, including humans, giving them food. But the point is, they're not the ones who make it. They don't provide for themselves. The food's just a product of the environment. Their work, however hard it might be, is just to get it. And perhaps they too have something to say to us. In our more creative capacity as humans, and particularly for Jesus' listeners as an agricultural community, we can overstep our boundaries in imagining our own responsibility for our own provision. You see, even the farmers who don't sow or reap, who do sow and reap, can't make anything grow. They don't make it happen. Even the fishermen working hard at their nets can't make fish appear where there aren't any. The real provision is from God, and God does provide. In terms of the actual physical resource of food, according to the UN, the world's farmers produce enough food to feed 1.5 times the global population. There's no shortage of God's provision. So why are there still people who are hungry and thirsty and naked? Well, if we look to the birds and the flowers, perhaps we can see some answers. The birds in their search for food, while they're totally reliant on God's provision, still work hard, they work together, they rely on others. Trusting God is actually not the only thing we need for physical life. Trust God that the provision is there, and then work to find it. We're not hand-fed. That's not the way to either our growth or our fulfillment. The thought of those birds of prey reminds me of other animals in a zoo. I've heard many arguments against keeping wild animals in cages, and I'm sure you have too. But why? After all, the animals receive all their food regularly. They're provided for in every way, as they'd never be provided for in the wild. If we care about them, why don't we put them all in cages and look after them all properly? Because we know, don't we, that it's a different kind of life to the one that they're made for. 100% provision comes at a cost. Those caged animals aren't going to be able to go back into the wild unless they've been kept under some very specific circumstances. They'd be unable to fend for themselves, to find food or ward off attacks from predators or fight for their territory. Having everything provided for them, not just in a general way, but in a very specific and careful way, has meant that they're unable to live in the freedom they were created for. We are made to strive and learn and adapt and grow. So the provision is there. Sometimes easy to access, sometimes requiring a bit of work, sometimes like the birds needing to rely on others. Others who have also been put there by God, who are also engaged in striving and growing. And sometimes we just need to stretch out and receive what God has for us, like the lilies of the field. The seed, the tiny shoot, is receiving the goodness of God's provision. But to show its beauty and splendour, it has to reach up and out. And the more it does so, the more it receives from God, and the more it shows his glory. So having, in a very long-winded way, ascertained that God does indeed provide, we return to the point of Jesus speaking. If we know that God does this, if we know that he cares for the birds enough to provide them with food through his creation, and he cares for the flowers enough to give them beauty and splendour, why do we not think that he cares for us enough to provide for us? And if we do think that he cares enough for us to provide for us, why do we worry? We accept that we might have to work hard to obtain what he's provided. We might have to work together. We might have to accept help from others. But the provision is there, and we don't have to make it come. There is need to work. There is no need to worry. After all, Jesus says, who by worrying can add a single hour to his life? By spending time in anxiety and worry, we lose much more than we gain. And the God who cares for us and provides for us doesn't want that. He wants us to be able to live in freedom and fulfillment, and we can only do that by trusting in his provision. So Jesus says, as he said last week, trust in God. Don't put your trust in possessions, he said then, because they don't last and will never give you the security you need. Don't make money your master. And today, if you're drawn towards money because it puts food on the table and clothes on your back, remember where those things ultimately come from. They come from God. Worry never works. It only comes into play when we think we're responsible for ourselves. We play out in our minds worst-case scenarios and think we're planning responsibly. Many of those scenarios never happen, and we've worried unnecessarily. But even if they do happen, all we've achieved is to live through it twice. Or more, Once when it actually happened, and the other times when we've been experiencing all the anxiety of worrying about it. What a waste. I remember reading something along these lines. God calls himself I am. When we live in the past, it's hard because he's no longer there. His name isn't I was. When we live in the worries and fears of the future, it's hard. His name isn't I will be. When we live in today, we experience the peace and presence of God, who is I am. Now, we might have to allow for a bit of artistic license in that theology. But the point it makes is sound. God is here and now. When tomorrow comes, God will be here and now then. Each day has enough trouble of its own, Jesus says. Concern yourself with what is happening now, not what might happen tomorrow, or next week, or next month. The trouble that might come tomorrow has to be dealt with tomorrow, not worried about today. But finally, having told us what not to do, I just want to point you to one positive instruction of Jesus in this passage. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Here's something we are to do. Seek his kingdom. Seek God as your king. That means living under his rule in obedience. But you know, in God's kingdom, there is no need to worry. What did we say about God the King earlier? Abundant goodness, compassion, love, faithfulness, satisfying, giving. How can there be anything to worry about in a kingdom where he rules? Living life under the reign of this God can only be good. Partly because God knows what's best for us and provides for his people. And partly because those who share the kingdom with us reflect those attributes of God too. So as we seek the kingdom and righteousness of God, we reflect his reign and his righteousness to those around us. That means being compassionate, loving, giving, caring for the weak, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick. So through us, the reign of God builds a community where no one needs to worry about what they're going to eat or drink or wear. The provision of God given to all through creation is made available to all through his people. Instead of worrying, we look to this kingdom. Next time you think, oh no, what am I going to do? Think, where is God's provision? Where are his goodness and love being shown? Ask, how can God's kingdom be growing at this point? Act out of his righteousness, doing the right thing with love and compassion. Working hard, working with others, accepting help, reaching out to receive what God provides. The king cares for his people, and his people care for one another. But a final warning. Part of accepting God as king is to accept his decision. And sometimes in his sovereignty, he knows that what we think we need is not what's best. That doesn't mean we shouldn't ask and work and all the rest of it. It does mean we don't become discontented and lose faith if what we want to be provided isn't provided in the way that we wanted it. Remember, the King loves you and knows you. Trust him to do what's good and what's right. Don't worry. Let us pray. Lord God, we're sorry for the times when we've trusted in things other than you to sustain us. We're sorry for the hours we've spent worrying about things we have no control over, rather than accepting your control over them. Help us to trust that you care for us and that you provide. Lord, as we look to you and to your kingdom, would you give us all that we need to live and to grow to fulfillment and fruitfulness in you? And enable us as good citizens of your kingdom to share your goodness with others. In Jesus' name, Amen. Let's look to the kingdom then as we listen to this next song. Now you can play it. As we come now to our time of prayer together, I invite you to look at the names that will come up on the screen and lift them to God. And consider those others that you know who aren't on this list. If you want us to add them to the list for next week, let us know. Just a quick update. Mary is home. Well, she's in a hotel quarantining, but she's back from India, which we can rejoice at. But let's pray together. Lord, we want to thank you for your provision. But we want to pray for those who are having difficulty finding that provision right now and need some extra help. And so we lift to you those who are sick today. May they know the provision of your healing and restoration. As they work and strive along with others to find health and well-being, would you bless them with your presence and your touch? Sustain and strengthen them day by day. We lift to you those who are grieving. May they know the provision of your strength and your comfort. As they receive from others the reassurance they may not yet know for themselves, may they journey towards you and the comfort only you can give. We lift to you those who are in difficulties, financial, social, employment, family. Enable them as they work through their troubles with your strength and wisdom. May those in physical need know physical provision. And may all know the provision of your peace and your blessing. We pray for the lifting of COVID restrictions as we all work out what that means. Would you bless, guide and keep us? Instill in everyone a greater sense of responsibility and compassion for one another. And may your hand on the virus situation continue to suppress hospital admissions and deaths. Lord, we leave these things in your hands. Amen. We do continue in prayer, but this time through a song, seeking God's kingdom for the sake of the whole of society, that we might look forward to the day when the land flows with the compassion, justice, and provision of God. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our final hymn concludes our prayer time and our service with the reminder that Jesus' words teach us to escape the trap of worry by trust and obedience to him. So let's head outside and we'll sing together. When we walk with the Lord, trust and obey. I pray with Paul that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen. Let's share the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. Thank you. Now you can chat.